Tonight, I want to do, it's more of a Bible study than it is a sermon, but I want to talk to you tonight about keeping yourself. Keeping yourself. Now, you hear that title, and you might say, well, this is a misnomer. This is not right. I didn't think we had to keep ourselves. I thought Jesus kept us. And he does. It says in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And when I'm dealing with a little child, and they've asked Jesus to be their Savior, I use those verses as an illustration. I said, now that you're saved, Jesus has got you in his hand. And there's nobody that can get into the hand of Christ and get you out. And then I say, God's got his hand around Jesus' hand, and there's nobody that can pry God's hand off. And so in the hands of Christ and in the hands of God, you are safe, and he keeps us in his hands. In John chapter 14, a familiar chapter, Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. He knew he was going to be buried. He knew he was going to rise again. He knew he was going to go to heaven. And he starts out that chapter and he says, "In my Father's," he said, "let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And he knew he was leaving. And in that chapter, he prayed a prayer that talked about how he wanted God to keep us after he left. He said, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. He said, except for Judas, who wasn't saved in the first place. And now I come to thee. He said, I'm coming to back to be with you. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them. And so as Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven, he prayed and asked God. He said, I've kept them while I've been here in your name. I've kept them safe. I haven't lost any of them. Now that I'm coming back to you, I pray that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them in this world. And God does that. He keeps us. And I'm so glad that he does. I'm glad we don't have to worry. And yet, three times in the Bible, the words are used, keep yourself. Keep yourself. And even though God keeps us, there's a part of that keeping that's our responsibility. And tonight I want to tell you what that is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. For each one that's here, thank you for what we've already experienced with the children. And I pray that every Sunday, every day, we would celebrate Easter because we celebrate the resurrection. We know without the resurrection, we'd have no hope for heaven. And so thank you that we can look to a time and to a place where our Savior rose from the dead. I pray as we move to this part of the service and we open your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth that God keeps us, but help us to realize that we have a part of that responsibility as well. So speak to our hearts. I pray through somebody here that doesn't know Christ, tonight would be the night they get saved. And then for the many Christians out of here, do something in our life, Holy Spirit, that you can only do, and we'll give you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight I want to make two points. Number one, God will keep us. Number two, we have some responsibility in that keeping. And let me illustrate for you before I give you the three times in the Bible where it says keep yourselves so you'll get an idea of where I'm going. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is in a ship. He's prisoner, and they're taking him to Rome to stand before Caesar. And those of you that know the book of Acts know that a cyclone or a hurricane comes up. They're in a terrible storm. In fact, the Bible says when that storm came up, the Bible says there was no hope that we should be saved. He said all hope was taken away. They all thought they were going to die. And Paul stands up on that boat in the middle of that storm, and he says this, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And so, after a time away from everybody else, after a time of prayer, in fact, Paul says, an angel of God appeared to me. And he said, Paul, you don't need to be afraid, and you don't need to worry about those that are with you in the ship. I'm going to get you to Rome. And everybody that's sailing with you is going to be safe. They're going to lose the ship, but everybody in the ship is going to be saved. So, promise from God. I'll keep everybody alive. You go down a few verses later in verse 31, there were some sailors that were letting anchors down, and as they were letting anchors down, they let a lifeboat down. Their plan was not to stay with the ship, but to get into that lifeboat and try to make it to land. Paul saw what they were doing. He said this, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now, God had just promised everybody in the ship was going to be saved. But Paul said, hey, if you leave the ship, you're not going to be saved. And so, even though God made the promise, I'll keep you all, those men on that ship had a responsibility in that keeping because they had to stay on the ship. Paul said, if you leave, you're going to be destroyed. And so, again, my 2 points tonight is, number one, God will keep us, but we have a part in that keeping. And 3 times in the Bible, it says, keep yourselves. Let's look at them. First one is found in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Now, the accursed thing in Joshua chapter 6 was everything that was in Jericho. The people of God had come out of Egypt. They'd wandered in the wilderness because of their disobedience for 40 years. They were now in the fight in the promised land, and they were fighting against Jericho. And the captain of the Lord's army came and gave Joshua his battle instructions. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around the city one time. Put the trumpets there and have all the people line up, but the trumpets can blow, but I don't want anybody to say anything. March around at one time. Do that for 6 days. On the 7th day, I want you to march around it 7 times, and when the trumpets blow, I want all the people to shout. And when everybody shouts, the wall will fall down. And if you read in verses 16 and 17 of Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says this, and it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And then in verse 18 is that verse we read a moment ago that says, keep yourself from the accursed thing. Joshua was saying, look, God's going to give us this city. It's going to be ours. We're going to take it. He's going to give it to us in a miraculous way. The walls are going to fall down. But everything in that city belongs to God. Don't take it. And I think God was trying to teach him the principle that's taught throughout the Bible, the principle of the first fruits, that God wants the first fruits, that he wants, you know, the first of what he gives us. The tithe is a first fruit. And when the Feast of Tabernacle and the Feast of Pentecost that we talked about this morning in Sunday school, the people were to bring the first fruit of their harvests and offer them as an offering to God. And so Joshua gave him the instruction. Everything in this city is accursed. It belongs to God. If you take it, it'll be a curse to you. So just leave it alone. Everything here is his. There was a man named Achan that didn't follow the instruction. In chapter 7 of Joshua, verse 1, the Bible says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan took one of the accursed things, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You go down and read further in that chapter as Joshua confronted Achan with what he did. Achan said, well, I saw a Babylonian garment. I saw 200 shekels of silver. I saw a wedge of gold. And he says, I coveted them. I took them, and they're now hid in my tent. Now, those of you that know the story know what happened as a result of Achan taking this garment and this silver and this gold. The people won a great victory at Jericho. They went to take the next city, which was the city of Ai. And they sent spies to look at Ai, and they came back and told Joshua, it's just a little city, don't send the whole army. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000 men up there, and 2,000 or 3,000 men should be able to take it. Well, they sent 3,000 men. The city should have been able to be taken with 3,000 men. But they lost that battle, and 36 men were killed as they fled from the people of Ai. Joshua went to God and said, why? I mean, you told us you'd give us the land. Why would we suffer this defeat? And God said, because somebody took one of the accursed things. They didn't keep themselves from the accursed things. And so they brought Achan before Joshua and before the judges. He admitted to what he did, and they took him and his family and stoned him, killed him for the sin of the father. God punished not only his family, but the whole nation of Israel as they suffered defeat at Ai. There are some things today that God said, look, you need to stay away from the accursed things. There are some things today that belong to God that we need to stay away from. The tithe, when we keep it from God, is an accursed thing. It belongs to him, the tenth. I mean, it's his. And when we take it, we are not keeping ourselves. God will keep us, but we're asking for trouble when we keep the tithe. The Sabbath is his. And I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, so you can say amen. Everybody's not here. That's what I'm preaching about. But the Sabbath is his. I mean, the Sabbath. He said, look, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And I think God's expectation is we spend the day remembering him and coming to church on Sunday morning, coming to church on Sunday night. And when we keep it to ourselves and we do other things on the Sabbath, we're messing with an accursed thing. I mean, the day is not cursed, but the fact that we keep it and don't give it to God and remember it the way that he wants it, it makes it a cursed thing to us. Another man's wife, another man's property is an accursed thing. I mean, we just need to stay away from them. They're not ours. They belong to that other person. And if we take it and we covet it and we take it, even though God keeps us, there's a price that we will pay. We will pay. Wine and alcohol and drugs are all accursed things. We just ought to keep ourselves from those things. I mean, we're still one of God's children if we get into them, but we're going to miss some of the blessings and we're going to pay a price because we haven't done our part in the keeping. We've gotten involved with things that we shouldn't get involved with. Now look, I could go on and you can add to the list just as easily as I can. There are things that if we get involved with will be an accursed thing to us. And even though God will keep us, we're not going to lose our salvation, but God will keep us, but we're going to miss some of the blessings and we're going to pay the price of disobeying him and not keeping ourselves from the accursed thing. I want you to notice what Achan did. And I want you to think about this same thing that Eve did in the Garden of Eden that got her in trouble. You can go back and read in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. Achan said, I saw it, just like Eve saw the fruit. I desired it. I wanted it. Number three, I took it. I saw it. I desired it. I took it. Now, as we keep ourselves from the accursed thing, we can stop at any one of those steps. I mean, the easiest way to stop is not look at it. Huh? I mean, when you get up on Sunday morning, don't have the debate, well, should I go to church today or not? I mean, it's nothing to debate. It's Sunday. You ought to be in church. I mean, amen, thanks. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. Don't even look at it as when you get ready to write your tithe, write your check and put your tithe, don't look at it and say, well, I really can't afford to tithe. Don't even have that debate. Don't have that discussion with yourself. It belongs to God. Keep yourself from the accursed thing. Don't desire what other people have. Don't even look at it. Don't put your eyes on it. Don't think, boy, I wish I had what they had. You don't know what they got. I mean, you can see what the things that they have, but you don't know what that causes them having that. You don't know the price that they're paying to have that. Talking to one of our men, he was telling me about how he changed the way he's working so that he can be home at night and be home on the weekends so that he can come to church. There are some things that other people have that they paid a price that we look at and say, boy, I wish I had that. But no, you don't want to pay the price. It's an accursed thing. So just the easiest way to stay away from the accursed thing is, first of all, not look at it. If you look at it, don't desire it. I mean, that's the next easiest way to stop. When you see something, if you let your mind want it, I mean, the second easiest way is not to want it. It's to just say, this is not mine. It doesn't belong to me. I'm not even going to entertain the thoughts of what would happen if I had that. But if you can't do that, I mean, if you see, if you desire, this is the hardest step to do it at, but you can still do it. Don't take it. Just stop yourself. Think about the times in the Bible and the examples in the Bible that God has given us when people took things that belonged to Him or when they took things that belonged to other people and they didn't stay away from the accursed things, the price that they paid. Adam and Eve paid the price because Eve saw, desired, and took the fruit. Got kicked out of the garden. They lost their fellowship with God. Achan paid the price. I mean, he saw, he desired, he took. He and his whole family and the whole nation were destroyed. Ananias and Sapphira paid the price. They saw, they desired, they took, they lied to God. I mean, Peter said, hey, when it was yours, you could have decided to give what you wanted. Why did you lie about it? And they didn't stay away from the accursed thing. God will keep us, but we have a responsibility in that keeping to stay away from the accursed thing. Number two, 1 John 5:21, second time the Bible says, keep yourselves. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. John, most people think that John wrote 1 John when he was in the city of Ephesus. We know Ephesus was a city that worshipped idols. We read about them in the book of Acts. They worshipped Diana and the temple that supposedly came down from heaven. They worshipped. And so Paul wrote while he was there in this idolatrous city, little children, keep yourself from idols. You say, preacher, don't worry, I don't have any idols. I don't have any of those little statuettes in my house. That I don't have any little figurines in my house. And I know you don't. I'm not talking about those kind of idols. Anything that comes between you and God, anything that's more important to you than God is an idol. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if we're not careful, we will have idols. Some of those idols can be good things. You know, your spouse can become an idol if you're not careful. We're supposed to love our spouses. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us to do. But if we love our spouse more than God, we've set up an idol. Our children, if we're not careful, can become an idol. We're supposed to love our children. The Bible tells us that. But if we love our children more than God, we have an idol. Now, I'll preach to myself for a while. If we're not careful, our grandchildren can become so important to us that they're more important than God. And I thank God for my little one. And I know you that have grandkids, thank God for yours. And we love them to pieces. But we better make sure that we love God more than we do them. Or we have an idol. Material possessions. If we're not careful. Our cars, our houses, our wealth, whatever you want to put in that category, if they become more important than God, they become idols. And look, God has blessed us. I mean, and I know some of you are going through tough times, but I'll tell you what, you live in a nation at a time that has the blessings of God on it, and I heard somebody say the other day, even though all the problems we've got, I'd rather live in the United States of America than any place on the face of the earth. and we're blessed. But if we're not careful, those things become more important than God, and we have idols. God will keep us. Jesus will keep us. But we have to do our part. We have to keep ourselves from the accursed thing. We have to keep ourselves from idols. And then the last one is found in Jude, verse 21, where it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait a minute. I thought that God loved us. I thought there was nothing that could separate us from the love of God. Doesn't it say in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Preacher, if that's true, and it is, then what does it mean? Keep yourself in the love of God. I think we can best see it by going back to the story of the prodigal son. Story of a father had two sons, and he loved both of them. The younger came to dad and said, Father, I want my part of the inheritance. It's mine, and I know I'm going to get it eventually. I don't want to wait. I'd like to have it right now. Father gave him that inheritance. And I would point out to you that the father loved that son just as much when he was leaving as he did when he came home. You see, the Bible tells us what happens when the prodigal son came home. Father was looking. He saw him coming. He didn't wait for the prodigal son to get home. He went running to him. His son was dirty and had tattered clothes on and no shoes. And he called his servants and he said, hey, bring one of the best robes and put them on. Bring him a new pair of shoes. Put the ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. And so we know when the prodigal son came home that his father loved him. But you ever stop and think how the father felt when the son left? It's not in the Bible, but I can imagine. I can imagine. When the son asked for that inheritance, dad said, you don't want to do this. You don't want to leave home. I'll give you your part of the inheritance, but why don't you just stay right here with your brother and I? Why don't you just stay right here? And I can see this younger says, no, dad, I got to go. I just got to go. I got to get away. And I can see the dad trying to reason with him. Why? Why do you have to go? Why can't you just stay home? I can see that dad looking after his son as he leaves. I don't know what he's got, maybe two packs on his back or something, but he's got all his treasures, his part of the inheritance in those packs. And I can see his dad watching him as he walks down the road with tears coming down his face, saying, I wish you wouldn't go. I wish you wouldn't go. Closest thing that I can identify with is when I took our daughter, Jessica, to college, kid that never went away from home, but she decided she wanted to go to school down in Florida for some reason. And I can remember, I'm glad it happened before 9/11, because I can remember, just like it was yesterday, packing all her stuff up in boxes and trunks. And I can remember going to the airport and, you know, I thought we were being wise. We checked 4 or 5 outside, and then we went in and checked 4 or 5, thinking they wouldn't know that we checked 10 altogether, you know. But we checked some on the outside, and we checked some on the inside, and we flew down there, and we got her all checked into the dorm, and they had a meeting. I remember it was 6 o'clock, I think on a Thursday night, something like that, and that for the parents that were there, and the students, and so we went to the meeting, and I was walking her back to the dorm. I was getting ready to get in the car and go back to the airport, and I said, you know, Jessica, we could still pack all your stuff home, and you could go home with me, and you could find a school up near the house to go to school. And she said, no, Dad, I think God wants me here. And so I went back, got in the car, drove to the airport with my tears just streaming down my face because I didn't want her to go. Now, when Adam got ready to go, man, we had a party. No, I'm just teasing. That was pretty traumatic as well. But his dad did not want him to go. And you know the story. The younger son got over to that faraway land. He wasted his inheritance. He ended up in a pigsty, feeding pigs, ready to eat what he was feeding them because he was so hungry. And the Bible says he came to himself and he says, you know, in my father's house, the servants have it better off than I do. I'm going to go back home and tell my dad I don't deserve to be a son. I just want to be a servant. And if you read between the lines, here's what he was saying. I know my dad still loves me. I can't feel it down here in this pig pen. I don't get the benefit of that love. So I'm going to go back home. And even as a servant, I know my dad will love me, and I can bask in that love. That's what it means when it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't get so far from him. Don't get so far off base from him that you have to wonder, where's God? He's still there, and he's keeping us, and he loves us. But when we get so far away from him that we have to wonder where it is and don't enjoy the blessing, then we've ignored this verse where the Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. God keeps his own. If you remember those verses that we read from John, it says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me and they follow me. He says, I'll keep those. If you're here tonight and you're not one of his, you can be. The way you become one of his is to come to Jesus and ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, this be a good night to do it. Kids have talked to us about the resurrection. They've talked to us about a Savior who went to the cross and died for us. And all we have to do to receive that gift of salvation that he purchased is come and take it. If you're here tonight, you have never done that, please do it tonight. I know most of us here tonight are Christians. And again, he'll keep us, but we have a part in that. We need to stay away from the accursed things. We need to keep ourselves from idols, and we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for all we've experienced in this place. Thank you for another reminder about the resurrection. Thank you for instruction from your word. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they'd see their sin, they'd see the penalty for that sin, they'd see the Savior from that sin. Tonight they'd come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray that we're doing our part in the keeping. We know that you keep us, but I pray, Father, that we keep away from those things that you stay to keep away from. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.